My name's Alex. My pronouns are he, him. I'm a student worker for the Center for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, and a creative writing major on campus with a minor in international relations. And yeah, that's basics of me.
All right, I will go for the next. I'm Dr. Sola Hong, the coordinator of the Student Center for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. I also serve as the advisor for the International Student Organization. It's my great pleasure to serve on this panel.
So I will go next then.
Sure.
Okay, my name is Dr. Ana Lopez Aguilera. I'm one of the Spanish faculties at BSU. I work for the Department of Languages and Indigenous Studies, and this year also it's my first year as chair of the department, so it has been busy. I don't know. I suppose since we are talking about that, it's an international panel, I will say I'm from Spain, so has been a long travel coming to northern Minnesota.
Hello, I'm Julie, or you can call me Cliff. And I'm an assistant professor in the Department of Business Administration. So this is my year five at BSU. And you'll see, it's my year 12 in the US. So before that, I was in Nebraska for 5 years and then Philadelphia for 2 years.
Where in Nebraska?
Lincoln.
Me too. I graduated from UNL.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we were Huskers. That's great.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Good to find a connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to kind of like echo with that topic, I should also explain that this is my second year, 2 years and a several months like after I came to BSU. Also in Minnesota. Before that, I was in Ohio for about 10 years. Yep. So, all right, Alex, we can start.
Yep. So for the first question here, what was the most challenging thing about coming to the US?
Okay, I can go first. So I feel like in 2009, when I came to the US in Philadelphia, I feel like the biggest difficulty, I don't know, as a young man, like in the early 20s, probably I feel like some uncertainty. I don't know what I want to do after graduate from undergraduate school. So now, and then at that time, I got a master's degree at that time, and then also, so a lot of uncertainty. And then finally, I figured what I really want to do. So at the time, I think the biggest difficulty for me is like, how to make sure what you want to do after graduation in your foreign country. You don't have your parents along with you, so you should make your own decision. You should make sure what's your direction and what you want to do. So that's probably the biggest difficulty I think at the time.
I think that's important. It's like you take responsibility of your own decisions. So it's kind of they are more solid. They stay with you for more time. Yeah. I think that for me, the most challenging thing was moving to a place where I didn't know anyone. So there was no family, no friends, no social network. I suppose that you can do that when you are younger. But once you start getting older, is when you start realizing how really scary and how many challenges you will have in the way. Probably if I would have been older, I wouldn't done it. But yeah, I think that was the most challenging thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it's very hard to deal with uncertainty. And for me, I think the most challenging part is to how to make sure I have a strong mindset to prepare for all the unknowns, especially like without family or close friends being around. At the very first beginning, it's very hard to kind of like integrate yourself to the culture here, because things are quite different. And then without knowing much about the culture, sometimes it may be hard for you to build a social bond with others, especially like within the same cohort with the graduate students. I think that is the most challenging thing for me, and also how to get in to the social culture with them. Like, for example, some local classmates would like to hang out at during weekends at bars, and which is not part of the college culture back home. So that was new to me, and also one challenging thing that I need to adjust to.
Yeah, and also one thing I want to say is like, probably we were in our home country. I'm from China. So we were in China, it's like you don't really live independently. You always have friends, you have family members around you. And then living in the US for the first few years, it's probably the first time in your lifetime to live independently. Everything, you should do everything by yourself. Go to the bank, have your own banking account, probably have a driver license, or do all those things by yourself. So it's really, if you are in your home country, you just go to do all things by yourself. That's a big challenge. Then now in a foreign country with a different language, so the difficulty level is much, much higher. That's kind of thing I can think of that, yeah.
So how did your family react to you coming to the US if they didn't come with you?
It's still a topic that we discuss in my family because they didn't understand it at the beginning. It was like, what? Like, you couldn't find a country far away? I said, yeah, I could have, but this is the one that came out. But I think that with years, with the passing of years, they had changed how they see it. First, because they realize that I'm doing what I'm passionate about, and also because they see that I had become more independent, connecting with what Cliff said. In Spain, it's kind of the same thing. You are never far away from your family. They take part in any decision that you make, your family, your friends, they have to say what they think. So when I come back, it's like they see a different person because I made decisions on my own and I had to do it. So first they felt strange about this new person, but also they feel very proud of it because, I don't know if because it's a different person, not like the rest around, or because I don't know, when I'm around the women in my family, I realize that they look at me like I'm equal to them. I don't know how hierarchy works in your countries, but in Spain, and in my family, women are very important, especially older women. So it's like you are not in the group of the younger women or middle age. No, you are one of us because you had gone through a different path that is more difficult. I don't know. That's the impression I get. But we really, really never talk about it. So
I can go next. I think I really appreciate that my parents, they have been very supportive to me pursuing my dreams here in the US. And when I decided to go to grad school in the US, my career goal was to help to establish an intercollegiate athletics system back in China. And later I kind of like switched my focus to a larger scale in higher education, which is another story. And at that time, like, although my parents like pretty much knew nothing about college sports and also they are not familiar with the diversity arena either, but they generally support me doing what I love to do. And for them, I think being not familiar with the environment I am in or I have been in the US is hard for them, but they took the opportunity to come to my commencement, kind of like get to know the environment a little bit. But right now, like they sometimes like joke with me that why I chose a place that like more than half of the year is snowing. Because where my parents live back home in China is kind of like in the Florida in the US. So yeah, that's quite interesting for them. But I think they kind of like just get used to the the mindset that I'm living my own life, and then so all they want is me to be happy and healthy, and so they really don't care much about the others, but at the same time, like, although they want me to live close to them, but they know that it's time for them to so-called let go or whatnot, because for Chinese culture, like, you will always be your parents' kid no matter what, so no matter how old you are. So
I agree with that. And for me, I figure, of course, in the beginning they're very supportive because they found me, so that's why I have money here, and now, but I don't know whether they, so I was a bit proud, but then I don't know whether they can adjust to the life that I will stay in the US for much longer than they thought. And now I think I can provide, so in my generation, I mean, from all my cousins, for my young, all the probably the cousins, I'm the oldest one, so I'm probably the role model for them. But because all the things changed and people, because in 2008 or 2009, US education is still the best. Now it's still very great, but people think that kind of temperature kind of decrease. So I don't think for my other family members, they also want to study in the US like me, as I did 10 years ago. So probably not that strong feeling. But now I think for me to stay here or work here, I think they're very supportive. They hope I can probably stay here longer, get more publications, work, get better, probably everything here. So that's the thing. I think if you're a kid of your parents, no matter what where you are, what you do, they will support you. Just like make sure you will connect with them as often as possible, because the technology now, you can have video chat with your parents in your home country every day. So if you have a chance, just make sure you will talk with them as often as possible. Yeah. Then if you have a connection, the bond, then I think will be easier. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Well, was it a rough transition when coming to the US?
Yes. Because it's like you need to learn things that you already knew in your home country. So you need to learn to do these things that seems like normal, like, okay, shopping, how to lease a place, how to drive a car. Like, what is an automatic car? What is that? That is different. So all these things require energy, time. It's very exhausting. I remember my first month, when I went to bed, I just fall dead. It's like my brain has been overwhelmed with information. I was exhausted. Also something very funny from my first month, and I didn't realize this until a few years later. I first arrived at Nebraska, the Midwest, and when I met people, I just said, hey, nice to meet you, nice to get to know you. And they told me, we had met before, we met at this place, and I couldn't remember them. I didn't remember their face, I didn't remember their name. And then I realized, this is my theory, I was used to look Mediterranean faces. I come from the Mediterranean area. So I was used to recognize very specific faces. When I moved to the US, specifically the Midwest, these people were different, and my brain still was not trained to recognize those faces. So it took a while to realize, to read faces that were different. And that was very unconscious. I didn't realize that till a few years later. But also, I was also very lucky that in Lincoln, Nebraska, there is a kind of insignificant community of Latino and Spanish people. So, and they were very supportive, and they always help each other. So that was also very important. You find people that help you always there. Mm-hmm. So yes and no.
So it's even harder. So if it's hard for you to recognize the face, it's probably much harder for me to recognize all the faces. It's yeah. kind of true. To me, one of the interesting story, when I went to Philadelphia is the first few weeks, I think when I walk around the street, like everybody's say hi to me, everybody's very friendly. Then after a few months, it's like normal. It's like when you meet a stranger or just have an eye contact, somebody will feel like normal after a few months. But in the beginning, everybody smile and say hi. Then I guess what? It's like in the beginning, everybody know you are a stranger, you are an outsider. So they will say hi or smile to you directly. But then after a few months, they figure you're probably a part of them. So it's kind of normal. That's how I feel in the big city in Philadelphia. It's like initially, when they think you are a stranger, they will smile to you a lot. And then if they think you're part of them, they don't. So that's my feeling. And also one of the tough transition is for the first few years, of course, the English language is one of the biggest challenge. At the time, I have many Chinese classmates, but it's like if you just always stay with Chinese classmates or your people from your home country, you don't really learn English. And it's much, much harder. So that's kind of a big transition you need to adjust. Even though you should stay in contact with your fellow home people from your home country, but you still need to learn English. Make sure you can handle it. Make sure you can master it, because it will be good for everything in the future. Yep.
Yeah, I still remember the first 2 weeks in the US. I felt like the English that I have learned in college was different, was another language at all, because even though like my college back home is because we located in the south coast of China, is very integrated with the Western educational system. So my college is already adopted that educational system and style, teaching style. So all the major courses were actually taught in English already. But the first 2 weeks here in the US for my grad school, I still felt like I probably spoke another language. And because of the language barrier, one challenge for me at the time was to speak up in class. And I remember that I always wanted to read faster so that I could finish my assignments quicker and then could have more time to have some social life with my American classmates. And also it was hard because at the time I was the only Chinese student in the program. And no joke, it was also very difficult for me to recognize faces in the very beginning. I needed to look at the name tags every time to make sure I can match the name and with the faces. And I think it's also kind of like helped me to develop the so-called habit that even now I would love to write down my students' names. And then accordingly to where they sit in the classroom or show up on the Zoom window to make sure I could match the faces as well. Yeah.
And also I want to say one more thing is not just about language. Like when you go to like CVS or Walgreens, you realize whatever you learn in the past, it don't really map there. So you probably don't know anything in the Walgreens. It's probably better for Anna because they always have Spanish and English in anything here. But for me, it's like they're all foreign language. So, and you don't know how to buy a detergent. You don't know where to, even how to ask them. So it's very hard because in 2009 or 2008, you know, smartphones are not very popular. So you don't have a translator in your hand. Mm-hmm. And also another thing is like, you don't have a cars, especially when I was in Philadelphia, it's better because bigger city, you have a bus. But when I was in Lincoln, Nebraska, we don't use bus a lot. And I remember the first month we didn't have a car. So we walk for like 25 minutes to a CVS or Walgreens. It's kind of, but still actually it's very close. Then think about probably in Bemidji, you walk from the campus to Walmart, it's like probably 45 or 1 hour. I still see students or international students, they walk from the campus to Walmart, like mm-hmm. sometimes, right. but even in the winter. So it's, yeah. it's a big challenge. It's really a big challenge if you don't have a car.
Yeah, I agree with that. Sometimes when I saw students like they walking in winter in the snows, I really wish that we could have more support for them. And then also I want to mention that the purpose of this panel is to also for students to see the representations on campus and then to know that some of the faculty and staff have been through the difficulties or the challenges before or similar situations before, and then wish the students will feel more comfortable to reach out to us for help or assistance and resources as well.
Yeah, I know there are some volunteers on campus, like either faculty or students, they can bring international students to Walmart or Target if they want. So hopefully we'll have some channels or more information about that in the future for international students.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that will be really, I mean, really nice, because I do remember my first year to in Nebraska without a car. It's a mess. It took me, I remember, 1 hour, 2 buses, mm-hmm. to go to Walmart, and then yeah. you come back and you cannot carry all the things that you really need because you are only one person. So right. yeah, I mean, if there is any way to support international students here, like with mostly transportation, yeah, yes, let me know. I don't mind going shopping.
Sure.
Well, what are some of the biggest differences you've noticed between the US and your country of origin?
I probably can see that also first. I think biggest things like the population or amount of people you can see everywhere. Because when I, in my hometown, we call it a small city. It's like only 200,000 people in the city area. In the county, like 1 million, but it's very, very small. But it's like, you can see people everywhere over the street. Here is really different. You can see cars on the road, but it's very hard to see people. So that's one of the biggest thing I can feel is very totally different. And then what else is, again, it's like everybody should have a car if you want to go to the place we mentioned. But, and also one more thing, probably the food, obviously we don't have authentic Chinese food, but we can do that at home. So still, my wife always said, even life probably in Bemidji is different from the life you can see from an American movie. Because probably all the movies about New York City or California or LA, but here is really countryside life. It's still very beautiful, like summer or some winter, but it's really different from what you have seen from the TV.
Yeah. I think a big difference for me is that the US is very individualistic. It's a very individualistic society. Compared to a Spanish society that is very communitarian. That's not negative for me. I think that for me at this point, Spanish society is too communitarian. It's like everyone is together. You go together everywhere and it's suffocating. So yeah, I would say that's a big difference. Also, I miss the food a lot. Especially the bread and the fish. Also, I miss going out just without planning ahead. So I cannot imagine not to go with some friend just to go hiking or to do something. We both take our calendars. Okay, we can do this on Saturday between this time and the other. Planning like 1 week ahead, 1 month ahead. In Spain, you just take your phone. Hey, I have 5 minutes. Do you want for a coffee? Oh, yeah. And those 5 minutes will be 3 hours. But I miss that sometimes, not all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. And I think one of the major difference that I noticed, like I came from a city back home as big as New York, pretty much. And then that was, how to say, on one hand, I feel it's very, very good because I can focus on study and whatnot in a relatively quiet environment, not that many of the distraction. But on the other hand, when I noticed that it is hard to see people on the street after 9 p.m. and then you probably won't be able to get any so-called funny thing to do after your spare time. It was quite a difference that I need to adjust to. And then also one thing that I miss a lot is the variety of Chinese food that I can have. I'm sure like in the bigger cities like New York or San Francisco or whatnot, it will be very easy for Chinese students or faculty to do so. But even back in Ohio, it was not that easy, but we still have some local supermarket like Asian market or very decent restaurants to go to. And here in Bemidji, kind of like 4 hours drive away from Minneapolis, which means also 4 hours away from those dim sum places and decent restaurants and Asian markets as well. So in terms of that, I wish that we could provide more support in this case to try to help the students here who come from different countries, like figure out a easier way for them to get some traditional food from their country of origins. Yeah.
What has been the most challenging thing about staying in the U.S.?
I can say first. So I think for international students, of course, if you want to stay here, the biggest thing is like to find a job. And also after you get a job to get your green card, if you want to stay here longer. And it's probably especially harder for people from China and India because the long line of waiting for green card, you need to generally for a person now, you can wait probably 4 or 5 or 6 years after you get your job and then wait for 4, 5 or 6 years to get your green card. So it's very, that's for Chinese. For Indians, probably 8 or 10 years. So it's a very, very long process, very long process. And also think about how hard to get a job here. So it's really, I think, the biggest challenge for international students.
Yeah. I can add to that, besides what Cliff said. I think you also, if you are thinking to stay, you need to prepare yourself mentally for being away from your family when they get sick or when they get older, because that is going to happen. And it's very hard being far away, and you're going to go through the feelings that are very uncomfortable. It's not only sadness, it's also you start feeling, for example, guilty of being far away, not being able to be there with them. So, yeah.
Yeah, totally agree with that. And especially during the pandemic, like everything gets 10 times or even 100 times harder. And not to mention the border was closed a bit. And also when it comes to the questions about whether staying in the US after graduation, I think students should definitely have some clear planning of what they want to do or what they hope to accomplish after graduation. Because as Cliff mentioned, that finding a job in the US as an international is not easy. So for some students, if they really do want to stay in the US for a longer time, either pursuing a grad school, a master's degree or even doctorate degree, or going to professional work directly after graduation, they might need to start their preparation way sooner than local students have to do. So in that case, students need to know clearly whether they want to stay in the US or not, so that they can prepare for that.
What are some misconceptions or stereotypes that people have about you, your country of origin, or immigrants from your country?
Many. In my case, it's always related to surprise. Things that they have told me. They think I'm French or Russian. I had met a few Russians. I don't look like them. Some other expressions, things that they have told me is, oh, I didn't know Mediterranean could be fair. Oh, I didn't know Spanish were white. And that also made you think, okay, what is the definition of white in America? Because I still don't get it. If I go back, I can say most of the Spanish people think they are white, but then we get confused because then they give you another label here, Hispanics, that there's no Latino. So it's kind of confusing. I don't really care much. I don't pay attention to that. And I recognize it's because I'm on the privileged side of the comparison, okay? So I had crossed the border many times. I had been here 15 years and had crossed that border many times. And I know there is and you look all the people who cross the border with you, it's supposed to be fair, but it's not. It's that there are differences when you cross the border depending how you look like. Being European is a privilege, and being white is a privilege. I will say that being a woman also is a privilege when you cross that border. So I suppose that I'm privileged on that. That's it.
Yeah, when I think about the stereotypes, I don't know, probably the male or Chinese male are more good at math, or I don't know, probably not good at language. And it's one thing here. Well, in Bemidji, it's very interesting. There are many people, if they know they are from China, they will say, what do you do in Bemidji? Are you open? Are you in charge of the restaurants there? I said, no. It's like all Chinese will do business in the restaurants industry. It's like that. That's the kind of thing I heard. But it's just interesting.
Yeah, to echo with the math stereotype, sometimes I feel like they will perceive a Chinese student unnaturally good at math, and to some extent that for me kind of like not value the hard working for students who have put into getting a good score. And another stereotype that I have been trying to break when I went to grad school would be some individuals may think one is all Chinese students are very rich, and then the second is Chinese students are smart in a bad way. So I mean, it all link with like how much the actual effort that one Chinese student have put in their academic area. So I think there always been stereotypes that international students need to break. And one thing that really sort of challenged me in terms of people's image about my country of origin or immigrants from my country, sadly to say, like, is heavily linked with the pandemic. And I still remember what I actually felt when I was stared by someone in a parking lot at Target, simply because I have black hair, black eyes, and then wearing a mask. sometimes I felt like helpless because at that moment, I couldn't like pull out my name tag saying, hey, I work for BSU. I'm a staff member there. But just simply as an Asian, as a Chinese wearing a mask. Yeah, so.
And one more thing I want to agree is like, yes, recently it's a bit harder to be a Chinese or to be an Asian. Even it's so, my suggestion is like, don't talk about politics with your American friends. You don't know their opinion and it's dangerous. Even a few weeks ago when I tried to go out to buy some other stuff from like secondhand stuff, then the seller, we were talking like friendly, and then at the end he's joking. So are you a Chinese spy? Because after he knew I'm from China. So are you a Chinese spy? I said, of course, no. Then, but you know, probably he's joking, but still you don't like that kind of topic or talk. So be careful, just don't avoid talking about those things. I think that's probably a good in this kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. I think that you are both right that the situation now is especially difficult for people from Asia. And I'd like to point back to what Cliff said is when you are a foreigner or an immigrant, you keep quiet about many things. And sometimes in meetings where I recognize international faculty, because we are usually the quietest one, yeah, you keep silent about many things. And I kind of understand that is, and you're right, Cliff, it's self-protection. But also it's, sometimes it consumes you because you cannot say what you really want to say, or I mean, you cannot speak openly. But
one more thing is like, when I'm on campus, I feel safe. We can yep. see anything we want.
Mm-hmm.
We have support from all the faculty or staff. It's like mm-hmm. when you are outside of the campus, when you meet like older people, they probably not, they don't know everything, but they know something from the media. So that's, mm-hmm. they have some misconception. You don't need to argue with them, but you can have a different opinion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big difference between campus and outside campus. That too, I don't think I really know anyone outside campus, even if people are very friendly.
What do you wish that people knew about your country of origin?
Contrary to the stereotype, we are very hardworking, work a lot. I think very generous too.
Yeah, when I was in probably Nebraska, I was talking with my wife that we cannot represent Chinese people. We're just ourselves. But then because we're so many. And then when mm-hmm. I came to the Bemidji, I figured we only have few Chinese faculty or students. I may be a representative of Chinese people here. So I feel like, yes, hardworking, and I think we are not nerds, and we try to talk, we try to be part of this community, we try to help each other, that's a thing, and it's very hard, yeah.
Agree with that, and I would say my country of origin has a long history. And because of the long histories, there are many sides of the stories throughout the whole process for all the things that happen there. So I wish like people could be more open-minded and then just accepting who we are, and also try to know different sides of stories before coming to a conclusion. I think that applies to many different things in life actually. And I mean, it's always fascinating to know a new culture, and not to mention that, at least in my opinion, Chinese culture is very fun to explore. So I wish people could know more about it. And then also our country of origin or the immigrant identity is just part of our identities. And then it's part of who we are. So I wish that people could see more than meets the eyes?
Oh, this is kind of a similar question, but what do you wish people knew about you specifically?
I probably say first. As you know, probably we will say when we say Chinese students, we probably say, or international students, we are more likely to say we are shy. But I want to say, hopefully, we are not really shy. We just want, for me as a faculty member, I want to be a good teacher. I want to be a good researcher. I want to be a good advisor for my students. That's the thing. And I'm here to help. And that's probably what I want people to know me. Thanks.
Yeah, I will say that after so many years, I really like to be in the US. Not because you get used to it, because you learn to appreciate the good things, to realize how you had grown in the place. Specifically in Bemidji, I would like to tell people, be careful, because actually I had never learned to drive in the snow. So I think I'm a bit dangerous during winter, but it made sense. Where I come from, we don't have snow. I'm still getting used to it.
And for me, I hope students know that I work as the coordinator of the Student Center for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. So I'm here for all students, especially students from historically underrepresented groups or various of the student identity groups. And my office is on the second floor of the HJMU. Although we couldn't meet in person already that frequently right now due to the pandemic, but I hope that students know all the resources and support that we can provide as faculty and staff on campus, and don't hesitate to reach out to us. And I know because on campus, there are several departments and offices, we aim to create a safer space for all students. Yeah.
And there's just one more question on the list here. So where do you see yourself in 5 years from now? Do you see yourself still in the US or?
I hope so.
Me too, although after this year, I think I'm a bit scared of making long-term plans.
Yeah, 5 years from now, hopefully I get more established professor here. Of course, hopefully still live in the US, but it's not 100% certain. I don't know what my mom want me where, but I don't know, yeah.
So that's the last question on my list. Thank you for sharing all of your answers. It was really interesting to hear your stories and your perspectives on things.